Hi, and welcome to Cracking the Habit Code, 21 Days to Keeping Your Resolutions. I'm Christine Carter, and we are on day 4, which is about measuring our progress. So today we're going to talk about 5 things. One, what we measure, we improve, why we're going to measure our progress. We're going to talk about what we should measure or track throughout this process. We're going to define our resolution or our goals a little tiny bit more specifically. I'm going to tell you about the booby trap of measured progress. There is one. It's called the licensing effect. And we're also going to talk about how to avoid that today. So why measure things? Well, what we know is that what we measure, we have the ability to improve. So we know that when people are trying to lose weight and they weigh themselves every single day versus once a week, they tend to make more progress on it. I think actually what measurement does when we're tracking whether or not we're sticking to what we want to be doing is that it drives awareness. So if we're writing down every single thing that we eat, it makes us much more aware of what we are eating, of course. And this can be true of virtually everything. Just by holding ourselves accountable, when that simple little tick on a piece of paper can make our efforts much more successful, just driving that awareness. So today, in this day and age, it is very, very easy to track or to measure our progress. And it's so easy that we can actually get so caught up in the measurement of things that we forget what our resolutions actually are. If you were to Google quantified self or health 2.0 or body hacking, you would find a huge amount of information about how different people are measuring their every move. This is not really a new idea. Corporations for a million years have used measurements to determine their every move. Athletes and their coaches commonly have made detailed notes on nutrition and training sessions, sleep, other variables, and how they affect performance. Similar tactics have long been used to combat health problems, diabetes, allergies, migraines, those kinds of things. You know, for a long time, we've tracked things. It's just gotten a lot easier thanks to this quantified self movement. You know, we have this ability now through new technologies that make it simpler to gather and analyze our personal data. And a lot of this is really kind of fun. You know, sensors have become really small and inexpensive. So they're routinely included in smartphones. Which makes it a lot easier for us to take the quantitative methods that have been used in medicine and science and business for a long time and apply them to our personal lives. The danger here, I think, is that we will start measuring our accomplishments instead of whether or not we just do what we were going to say we were going to do. So our resolution might be to get more sleep, and our tiny habit might be to go to bed 5 minutes earlier today, each night. And that's really what we want to be tracking. We want to track that we went to bed 5 minutes earlier, not necessarily the results of getting more sleep, which would be how we will feel when we wake up in the morning, or if you get one of those great sleep trackers now, which personally I'm a huge fan of these things. And I think it's really fun to track this, you know, to know exactly how much sleep you got and whether you slept more deeply and how many dream cycles you had. That's interesting, but for our purposes here and our resolutions, what we need to do is remember that what we're trying to do is get into a habit. And so, you know, an old-fashioned journal is going to work really well too. What we're just making is little marks on a piece of paper. Okay, but before we set up a tracking system, we have to really know what it is that we are measuring. So in the first few weeks, I think it's fine to just pursue your tiny habits like we talked about yesterday and track only those. So on day 1, I really emphasized that we only want to pursue one big resolution at a time, and that's still true. I think it's fine to pursue 3 tiny habits at a time. So I want you to think more about what you did, that you did what you intended to do rather than the results. So your resolution might be to floss. So I want you to track whether or not you flossed versus whether or not your gums are feeling healthier. So, the idea is that you create the habit and the results will follow. So maybe your resolution is related to exercise, and you outlined yesterday three tiny habits that are going to help you exercise more. So maybe the first is after you brush your teeth, you're going to put your running clothes in a gym bag at night. After you get into bed, you're going to set your alarm. That was a big problem for me for years in exercise, and still, if I don't set my alarm, I don't get up and exercise. And then after you get in the car in the morning, you're going to drive to the gym. And that's actually kind of a funny small habit. You might laugh at this. Martha Beck, I will never forget this story in her book, the 4-Day Win. I think it's called the 4-Day Win. She talks about how when she's trying to get was trying to get herself in the habit of going to the gym, she her tiny habit, or turtle step as she calls them, was just driving to the gym. Like, she wouldn't even get out of the car. She's just trying to lay that neural pathway. So for the first few weeks is fine. Just pursue those tiny habits and track only those, and I think up to three of them is totally fine. But beyond that, once those things become automatic, we need a system for expanding our routine beyond just the tiny habits. At some point, you're going to have to break a sweat if exercise is your resolution. So how do we get beyond that without getting too caught up in our measurement system? So what we do is, once our tiny habits become automatic, we can start an expansion process. And this is going to be something that you're going to need to revisit on your own in parallel with this class. So, maybe you go from driving to the gym and sitting in the parking lot to walking from the car to the treadmill and setting it for a 20-minute workout. And basically, what we're trying to do is expand our tiny habits, or our turtle steps, into what I think of as a baseline habit. So we're working up to a baseline habit. This baseline is a very realistic, doable, probably not overly ambitious resolution. So it could be, so for me, actually, when I was, my exercise baseline exercise goals really are to walk on the treadmill 5 days a week for 18 minutes, to stretch for 2 minutes at the end, and do 1 day of strength training with more stretching and movement. So this for me is really easy to do because I have a treadmill in my home, and it only takes 20 minutes. So it's very realistic, it's very doable, it's definitely not overly ambitious. It's not going to get me in shape for ski season, really, or to run my or to do my next triathlon, but it is a great amount of exercise that I feel really good about. It's a great baseline. I should note that I also have an emergency baseline that I think is a good idea for everybody to have in your back pocket. So, say I oversleep, or I'm traveling, or I really, really don't even have 20 minutes. I still do my emergency or my better than nothing workout because, it keeps me in the habit. It keeps that habit in place. So, my anchor is waking up in the morning, or my morning meditation, and I want to, exercise my body just a little bit because that keeps me in that habit. So my emergency baseline, or my better than nothing workout, is takes me 6 minutes, and I do a set of two sets of push-ups, squats, and crunches. And so, even though I'm in and out in 6 minutes, I actually don't have to change out of my pajamas and can do them anywhere. And I still feel a great sense of accomplishment, in the sense that I will have definitely broken a sweat, and I will have done, 50 or 60 push-ups and squats and crunches, which is definitely better than nothing. So it's good, as you think about your baseline, think about your emergency baseline as well. And then, if you'd like to, you can still shoot for a larger, more ideal goal if you want. but I don't really want you to think about tracking that right now. So you can track whether or not you exceed your baseline. So on days when I go for a long hike or a walk, or weeks when I walk on the treadmill 6 days, or if I do 2 days of strength training in a week, I might note that I exceeded my baseline. And that's fine. That's great. But I really don't want to feel like a failure if I simply met my baseline goal. And if I were tracking exactly what I was doing and I was regularly exceeding my baseline, instead of feeling good about that, I might feel like I was failing on the weeks that I didn't. So we want to, keep our not overly ambitious resolution realistic. It's better to be successful in something that is less ambitious than it is to fail at something ambitious, right? That's the theme that I keep coming back to. So, the other thing I'll say about this is that you can expand your baseline, right? You can get better. So in the spring, I'll add running outside to my baseline because that's really fun for me and it will help me get in shape for a triathlon if I decide I want to do that. But you only expand your baseline when it is totally automatic for you and super easy. So the habit is there. You can, feel free to change up the routine there. But don't change your routine until your habit is pretty well established. I want your mantra to be habit first, goals second. Because as I said before, I think I said it twice in this class already, create the habit and the result will follow. Okay, so there is something that can be kind of confusing because we're going to talk more about rewards and why they're important and how to craft a reward that works. And we've already in a couple of classes talked about how important rewards are and how we need to have rewards for tiny habits and think about rewards for being a part of the habit cycle is something that we crave. So I want to make sure that looking at your progress and your measurement system becomes a distinct thing from your reward. I want you to feel good at the end of your exercise or your mindful eating or saving or whatever it is you're doing. But I don't want you to feel so good about your progress that you unleash what is known by researchers as the licensing effect. So basically, what happens is that when we feel really good about our progress, we tend to sabotage ourselves. So moral licensing occurs when we behave virtuously and then we cancel out our good deeds by doing something kind of naughty. So it could be something as large as completing a major project or as small as taking a vitamin. But the fact is that when we behave in line with our goals and our values, ironically, we risk backsliding. So this is a really strange phenomenon, I think. But tracking or measuring our success can turn our attention to our progress and achievements. And unfortunately, when we feel good about our progress, we often sabotage ourselves. So consciously or unconsciously, we tend to feel that healthy or virtuous activities entitle us to partake in less good for us activities. So for example, we have lots of research on this that shows that smokers will smoke more, for example, when they believe that they've just taken a vitamin C pill. Or philanthropists tend to give away less money after they've been reminded of their humanitarian attributes as people. And there's one study that even showed that when people buy eco-friendly products, they're more likely to cheat and steal at the in the study with as a part of the study that they were taking part in. So when we make a healthy or good choice, our brain takes that as permission to be less diligent around temptations. Basically, we lose our vigilance and we lose our willpower. So we're trying really hard to create these habits and to fulfill our resolutions. And when we see some progress, that effort that we're putting forth, our brain will take that as an opportunity to just sort of back down a little bit. And that makes temptations a lot harder to resist when we're not quite so vigilant. So I just want you to remember that we measure progress to derive awareness and accountability, not to feel good about our achievement. So the classic example here is how we feel really good and relieved and productive and sometimes even kind of done for the day after we make a big long list of everything that we need to do. So we haven't actually done anything. We've just made a big long list of everything that we need to do because that provides us with some relief and a sense of control. But I just want you to remember that just as making a list of everything that needs to be done on a project is not the same as completing that project, getting into a tiny habit is definitely not the same thing as reaching your goal. So how do we avoid the licensing effect? The first thing is to not use moral terms to define our progress. So if your resolution is to yell less at your kids and you're tracking how often you pause and take a deep breath before addressing kids who are bickering or something like that, I don't want you to note your progress and the fact that you're getting into the habit of doing that as that you're becoming a better parent, right? That's the moral term that we probably need to avoid because progress really makes us feel like a good person, and we just need to be aware of that feeling. So the way that we stay on top of an awareness of feeling like a good person, which is, I don't want you to feel like a bad person. It's fine to feel like a good person. But when we elicit those feelings of being good, especially when in kind of moral terms, we tend to act in less virtuous ways. It's very ironic, I know. Has to do with willpower. We're going to talk a lot about this in week 3. But the way to do this is to keep your larger goal or resolution in mind. So reminding yourself that a step in the right direction does not mean that you are there yet. And of course, to remember the good reasons why you've made this resolution. So instead of giving yourself a pat on the back for your own good behavior, we can avoid the licensing effect by reflecting on our goals and our values rather than our accomplishments. So why did you take that vitamin? What larger mission are you trying to fulfill with your resolution? Go back and look at worksheet number 1, where you looked at your motivations and how you would benefit. Questions like these can help us stay focused on what we're trying to achieve instead of sabotaging our own efforts without even realizing that's what we're doing. So what we can do is note our commitment to our resolution rather than our progress. So this is kind of interesting. It comes from other research, which showed that when research subjects were successful in taking a positive step towards meeting one of their goals, so maybe they were trying to save money, or maybe it was students who were studying for an exam or exercising or whatever, when they were asked by the researchers, how much progress do you feel that you've made on your goal? They then became much more likely to do something that conflicted with their goal, like skipping going to the gym or hanging out with friends instead of studying, or if they were trying to save money by buying something expensive. On the other hand, when researchers asked people who'd made a similar positive step, how committed do you feel to your goal? They were not more likely to do something that conflicted with their goal. So that really simple shift in focus can lead to a really different interpretation of your own actions as you go about tracking and measuring your progress. So what I want you to conclude is that you did whatever it was you did. You met your resolution for the day because you wanted to. Not to have this conclusion like, okay, I'm doing great now that I can, now I can do what I really want. Now I can do something that is really tempting me. So, all right, I hope you have a fun time setting up a system for measuring your resolutions. This is a really important part of the process. I hope you don't skip, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.